In this episode, we're talking about The Office. We're talking about Top Gun again. We're answering some of your questions. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what must increase actually means. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. This is your home for Church Media HQ and Connection Culture. Our mission is to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. As I mentioned, I am your host, Luke Clayton, and I'm joined by the man, the father-to-be, and maybe likely father at this point, Bo Snyder. And that's big news to the podcast audience. We haven't talked about that.
We've not talked about that yet. Yeah, my wife and I are expecting our first, it's a boy coming here. Due date's about August 20th, 21st. Yeah. So it's very possible that he could be here. And we're excited, man. Nervous, of course. Yeah. Never been here before, as we say. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be good.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. That is really it. Like you said, it's like, yeah, you do. You just figure it out. You know, it just that's how every big major milestone in life is. Like, you're never ready for it. You just kind of figure it out.
The funniest thing I've had someone tell me is my brother said, when he's here, you'll have this moment when you're holding him like, oh, so you're staying?
Yeah.
No, it's like, oh, all right.
It's so like, oh, okay.
It's no longer handing the kid off. Hey, your kid's crying. It's like, oh, it's mine now. It's like,
yep. And you find people doing that to you. They're like, all right, this kid won't shut up.
Take it. So I'm preparing myself for that because in the past, it's been, hey, I'm the uncle. I'll just hand this thing off. But, so it's good. We're excited.
Well, awesome. Well, we're excited for you here. And maybe the next time we record, we'll get an update because I would think by the next time we record, for sure.
I would sure think so.
He would be in the world here with us. So, well, hey, this is the second. Well, we're going to call it the second official episode of the Must Increase Podcast. It would be hard to calculate that because, again, at one time it was called the Must Increase Podcast.
Yeah, maybe that'd take a while to.
So, anyways, whatever. We're going to call it the second one of the rebooted Must Increase Podcast. Because, hey, you know what? That's what everybody does. You get a Spider-Man, you make three different reboots of it, and you bring them all back together in the final movie.
Wow.
Which is pretty
classic.
Pretty great. So, so this is the Must Increase Podcast, as we call it. And we're going to dive into experiment, I should say, over these next few episodes with a little bit of a different format. So here's the thing. Obviously, we've changed the name of this podcast like three times. How do you calculate that? Have we changed it? I guess we have changed it three times because Must Increase to Church BHQ, back to Must Increase, whatever. But we do, from time to time, experiment with the format, the way things kind of flow, if you will. So we're going to experiment with a different format, have a few different segments, if you will, of each episode. So the first segment is one I'm really excited about, and I cannot think of a more creative name. So maybe we'll come up with one down the road. But for now, we're just calling it Stuff We Like. And this is where we simply make recommendations, maybe review stuff that we like. So movies, shows, books, podcasts, things like that. And that's what this section's all about. So, Bo, you get to give the inaugural Stuff We Like for this episode. What's the stuff you like?
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I got one TV that's funny. Another one is actually books. So I've
Look at there.
I have officially entered the world of The Office fandom.
Yes, we need applause.
Let's put some applause in there. Thank you very much for being here. I held off for the longest time. I mean, holy, I don't know how long The Office has been out.
Started airing in 2004 or 2005.
Okay. One of those years. Wow, that's a while. Because I could never get past the first couple seasons. Yeah. This is horrible. And let me tell you why. And I really do think you'll understand this. Is because when I first tried to watch it, my creativity, my film background got in the way of like, what is this? Mm-hmm. It was like, this is sloppy, not written well. It was just kind of like, it really was the beginning of the mockumentary, whatever you call it.
Mockumentary style.
Yeah. So it was kind of just like, didn't really connect with the characters. I was like, I don't know why people rant and rave about this show, but it's because I didn't stick with it. Yep. We finally did. It's like, you know what? It's pretty great. Yeah, so anyway, I'm in now, I guess.
Well,
so.
I mean, at this point, obviously, I have watched the entire series of The Office. I've lost count how many times I watch it. It is the only thing that I watch at night. Like, I mean, literally, like when I'm going to bed, like my daughter knows. She's like, oh, put on The Office. You know, it's like what we do. We put it on.
Yeah.
I watch, you know, whatever episode, I'll go through the whole series, and then I always get to the end. And I go through the whole thing, even seasons 8 and 9, which, in my opinion, aren't fantastic.
Yeah.
But I get through the finale, and I'm like, okay, what should I watch now? Back to season 1.
We've done that with other shows several times.
Start over. And so I'm so glad you're finally on
now
this
it's something we can talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have. We've been nerding out. I mean, here's the thing about the Office is, obviously, it's funny.
It is.
But it's a very well-told story, especially once you get into those later seasons.
Yeah.
What season are you on at this point?
I think I'm in the middle of 5.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what the latest episode is.
Yeah, mention the latest episode. I can probably tell you what season.
I think that... It just came out. Phyllis just blew the lid off of.
Of the old Dwight, affair going on.
Yeah,
there.
I think that's just what happened.
I'm almost certain that's season 5.
Okay, I think it is too.
Yeah, the Christmas episodes when all that happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Arabian Christmas.
We just watched that. Moroccan Christmas.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, in my opinion, obviously, like you said, season 1, it's got funny moments. Don't get me wrong. Like Diversity Day.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's got some good moments. But overall, season one, especially episode 1. Have you ever seen The British Office?
No.
You will hate The British Office.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you couldn't stand seasons 1 and 2 of The American Office, you'll hate The British Office. Okay. I've watched several episodes of it. I haven't made it all the way through because it's so – I mean, take the cringe level – and go to a whole new level.
I mean,
it's just elevated.
Yeah, I'm sick just thinking about it.
So, you know, some people love it, some people hate it, whatever. So, anyways, the first season of the American Office is very, very, like, carbon copy almost of the first season of the British Office. A lot of similar plot lines.
Okay.
Some of the episodes are just almost just, they're just reading the same script.
Okay.
But then as you get into, and even season 2's kind of got some of that feel. But as you get towards the back half of season 2, into season 3, and then definitely into season 4, I mean, in my opinion, everything from season 4 to season 7, which is Steve Carell's final season, is all really good. So I'm glad.
I'm probably getting just into the really, really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So anyways, I'm glad. We should probably add that again to the stuff we like list when you're finished with the series.
Yeah.
And we can maybe do a full deep dive on it. But I'm a big fan. So I'm glad you're there. What was your other? You said you had a book, so you're bringing two to the table.
I've gotten back into reading Patrick Morley.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy. That's probably written in the '90s, I think. The Man in the Mirror.
Hmm.
It sounds super cheesy. It's probably the number one book on my shelf.
Okay.
Something I read about once
a
year.
We've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the. His thing is like the 20 most things that men face. Mm-hmm. Men go. I mean, he covers everything from money to relationships to. It's one of those very rare things that, you know, big thing. Like he starts out with, you know, men the want to be successful and be remembered mm-hmm. and all these things that I think every man goes through, and it's just this like very very few times to read a book and you go, this guy like. Knows me, you know,
okay.
And he's got a couple other ones. How God Makes Men mm-hmm. is another one that's really good. Just because you know this is not the topic for the day, but just it's the best book and best author I've found. Like just navigating being a man,
mm-hmm.
really,
and
obviously all from a Christian perspective. I mean, this guy he's just phenomenal. So that's something I like right now. Some you know, sometimes there's seasons of life where, hey, I'm going to, you know, really dive into the Dave Ramsey financial books for four or five months or whatever. But this was getting back to, I think I actually picked it up again because I'm about to be a father. I really am. I think
it's
that's
very
why.
Reflective time.
It is. I think I'm picking it up again.
Okay.
And that's my more serious
Right now. Good for you. You're a much more avid reader than I am. You actually read physical books.
I do read every book I own is a hardback book.
Yes.
I don't buy paperback books. I refuse to do it.
Wow, you're a real book snob then.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of.
Well, I don't even like read much actual like turning pages or even digitally.
Luke got a free book one time. He gave it to me.
Yeah. Very true.
That's true.
That said, I do actually have a hard copy book that I did order, and I don't know if I'm going to read it because I probably will get the audiobook, but it's not out. Well, it's not out all the time for recording, but I just got a notification it's on its way, and it's Craig Rochelle's new book, Lead Like It Matters. Anything Craig Rochelle does is good.
Oh, yeah.
Anything he does, leadership, is just excellent. Winning the War in Your Mind is his last book, if I remember right, and it was really solid. So I have nothing to say about it, but what I'm imagining what this is based on what he's been talking about is he's had this leadership podcast that he's had for years. I think almost 5 years at this point.
Yeah, probably.
What I can imagine is probably a culmination of that content in book form. And man, I'm really looking forward to actually.
I forgot he's coming out with that because I think he wrote it a long time ago.
Yep.
That was, I think, just church leaders,
the
but now
factor or something like that.
Yes, but now I think it's kind of a.
Now he's kind of revisited and expanded it to be more apt. So I am looking forward to that. I ordered the hard copy, but I did also order the audiobook, so I'm probably going to listen to the audiobook. But what I noticed about Winning the War in Your Mind was there was a lot of stuff that was like, oh, I actually do need to go look at the book here and kind of cut some charts and some things like that. So anyways, so that's my serious one. My one that's, I don't know, not so serious is, because we've already done a full episode on this and it's on the YouTube channel, but I did see Top Gun again. And I just have to say, it's probably better the second time.
Like, I've got to go see that again.
Yeah.
I really do.
There have been movies that I've watched the second time and it ruined it. For example, Star Wars The Last Jedi. I mean, the first time I was like, it's okay. The second time, I was like, this is the worst Star Wars movie ever made, which I stand by. but this, it was awesome. It was so good. I took my sister and her fiance and my other sister to see it. And it's for their first time seeing it. They're blown away by it. It's so good. And I might see it one more time. But because, I mean, at the time this comes out, I highly doubt it's going to be in theaters anymore.
I probably better hurry up and see it again if I want to do that.
I don't know, man. It's a lot and we need to move on. But it's a bold statement to make. So that's why I'm not going to lock it in.
Sure.
It might be one of the best movies I've seen. It might be. It might be top five, top 10 because it's so original. I guess it's a sequel technically.
Yeah.
But it's original. It's an all new story.
I mean, I would say definitely top 10.
Yeah.
Top five is
cool. There's a lot out there. And we'll have to do our top 10s at some point on movies.
Yeah,
we'll have to dedicate a Stuff We Like segment to that.
Yeah, but maybe that'd be a good bonus at just movies, top 5.
Yeah, that would be. I would like that. But anyway, so yeah, Top Gun's real good.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen it, at this point, you probably can't see it in the movie theater, and you did miss out. But it's still worth getting it on streaming or whatever, stuff like that. So, all right, let's move on. Stuff We Like, to questions and answers. Remember, you can text your questions to 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461. And let's take a look at some of the questions we have today. The first one I have here. Bo, you be queued up with the next question. I'll do this one. Does a church or business need an app? So here's one of those questions, topics that would be a little bit more about the, marketing and media side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, at Church Media HQ, Creative Team Pro, we do design and build websites. All the websites we make are mobile compatible. They're mobile friendly.
Yep.
So here's my thing about apps. Unless you have a business or a service that is more or less fueled by an app. So, for example, Uber.
Yeah.
Uber doesn't exist without the app.
Sure.
You know, and it's a very intuitive app. It works very well. Instacart. Oh, dude, love Instacart, by the way.
That's
a stuff I like for sure.
Okay.
I don't go to the grocery store. It's awesome. You just order your groceries. They come to your door. It's amazing. Amazon. I guess Amazon could function without the app, but I mean, it's very much app-based.
Yes.
So unless you have what's called, I don't know what the term for it is, but something that's very interactive and functional.
Yeah, service-driven.
Yeah, service-driven. Yeah, purchasing is really a big part of it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You don't need an app. Yeah. Here's my thing, especially with churches. I hear churches from time to time, they'll ask me, they get really hung up on, oh, we need an app. Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You need a mobile-compatible website.
Because I've seen church apps fail because they created it without really a reason.
There's really two extremes. Yeah. There's either the cut, copy, paste version where it's just a template, whatever, some company, some third party is saying, oh, get a free app and whatever, and you insert your info and it's really clunky and nasty.
Yeah.
Or there's on the other side, one that's really how it should be. They're taking the right approach. They're trying to custom develop, but the development and the maintenance is just so expensive, so energy and resource intensive.
Sure.
It's really just not feasible to keep up unless you are some big mega church out there, you know, talking about Craig Rochelle. Oh, for your Life Church, you're good. You know, if you're Elevation, you're fine. But, you know, for the average, really even the average large church, it's just not worth it. So get a mobile compatible website.
Right.
That's what I recommend.
With those big ministries like that, I mean, you have such a large staff. You have an IT team.
Oh,
that's what they do.
Elevation has.
That's all they do.
They have 12 guys on their social media team alone. So,
wow.
And the same thing with businesses. You know, businesses, if you're a big business, you know, like I said, an Uber, an Apple, Amazon, okay, you clearly got big money, you know, to spend on these things, and it makes sense. But if you're just, a larger business, even with a few dozen employees, or like I said, a church that may be running a few hundred people, you might, you would be large by, I guess, the comparatively, but it's still not worth having an app. Just have a mobile friendly website, which again, any web developer out there is going to make that's worth their salt. They're going to make a mobile-friendly website.
Right.
So that's that question. Bo, what's yours?
I got one over here, and this could be a very long, but we'll keep it short.
We'll try to move it along.
Why do you think a lot of churches are hesitant and even sometimes staunchly against having a social media account for their church or ministry?
Well, I do have to say this doesn't seem as common anymore. I've seen it. I have seen it, and I've seen... And here's why. I've seen, to answer why they are. I see them concerned with, first of all, being in a place of evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like what we talked about in the last episode. A lot of, there are those still that kind of school of thought. And that's it's probably amongst pastors and people in general.
Yeah.
That's still out there of like, we just need to stay away from this stuff.
Okay.
We need to be done with, you know, just stay away from the media and the tech. I personally know some people that if they had their way, if they could just Thanos style, snap their fingers and make it happen, they would get rid of all screens, all internet, all apps, all social media. It would all be gone.
Yeah.
And so I think there's that. But really what's encouraging to me to see over the years, and this is, again, one of the few positives of the whole COVID-19 garbage that we had to go through, was, you know, people actually, in churches in particular, embracing social media, saying even if they have to view it as a necessary evil, it's there. It is something they need to be tapping into to some extent. So fortunately, I'm not seeing as much of that anymore, but I do think that is the underlying kind of mindset of those.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do know those that they are, it's a necessary evil for them.
Yeah.
They're just giving into it because of the pressure. And I get that.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I'm not going to, because we got to move on, but I do think, you know, not a lot of good things came out of the pandemic, but this is something that I think the number of churches that didn't before, I think a lot of them actually did kind of go over the bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we have to make this a part of our life, a part of our ministry. I think a lot more people are involved in that now. Of course, there's probably still a few, but I think that's kind of a wave that helped, maybe. Anyway,
and it did help, but you know, I'm sure there's still out there who are resistant, and there's a good chance if you're listening to this podcast, you're not one of those people.
Probably not.
But if you are, we'd love to talk to you. Reach out.
We'll still help you.
Yeah, we'll still help you. We'll still you know, be nice to you, even though you're kind of dumb. No, that was mean. I shouldn't say that. We don't mean that. You're not dumb. You're not dumb. Okay. Next question. Bo, I don't know if you want to read it there or I can read it here.
Here we go. What does the name Must Increase mean, and why did you choose that?
Okay, so...
This is a really good question, because we've talked about this before.
And I have been asked this before, and so Like we said in the last episode, 6 years have been, Must Increase, if you will, has been officially in business for 6 years, over 6 years at this point.
You could grab your little thing on the shelf back there.
That's
a great visual.
But this is it. I'm glad you pointed it out. I forgot it was there. So I'm sitting there. I had recently been unemployed, and I don't know anything but this. This is all I know. I was working full time at a church, being their media director, and it got super overwhelming. And it wasn't the church's fault; it was my fault. I just was really bad at saying no, and so I finally hit a point where I was like, talked to the pastor, talking about it. I know this is sudden, but I got to be done. I gotta go. And so we worked out kind of an arrangement where I would stay on as a contractor. But anyways, still a client to this day. Great stuff. But anyways, I'm sitting there in what is now my new home office, and I'm looking around, and I'm trying to think of a name. I'm like, there's a name there. And then I've got this, and tell me where I've got to hold this for it to be in focus.
Closer to you.
Oh, that's right. It probably needs to be like right here.
Yeah, right about there, actually.
Price is Right style.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I had this. I look over and I see this. This is John 3:30, for those of you just listening, and it's the verse, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, this is a relic from when I was in high school. My mom had to put together a senior table when I graduated high school, and something that I had kind of claimed this as a life verse back then. And, so she framed it, and then I always kept the frame because I always thought it was a good verse. I like that verse. Anyways. So that is why I chose the name, because it was kind of had meaning. But here's what's different. What's changed, if you will. My interpretation of the verse in that passage has shifted. Okay. So everybody kind of looks at must increase, and this leads into our topic of the week. So we're just going to keep on going here. Everybody kind of looks at that passage as a verse about maybe humility. You know, oh, he must increase, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. I have to be humble. Now, look, humility is great. It's something that, you know, we should all practice. And there's plenty of scripture passages out there that encourage humility and things like that. But as you look at the passage in context, you realize that, well, this is not necessarily the correct interpretation. So this is a quote from John the Baptist. The Baptist says this. And if you look, I'm actually going to do a quick little Bible study, if we may here. John chapter 3, verse number 22. It talks about how after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judah, and he remained with them and baptized. John the Baptist was also baptizing in Anon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. So before he's in prison, Jesus is baptizing in one place. John's baptizing, John the Baptist baptizing in another place. And there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples, his followers, and the Jews about purification. So they came to John and they said to him, "Hey, Rabbi, teacher, he who was with you beyond the Jordan," talking about Jesus, "to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." And then John answered and said, "A man cannot receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." In other words, he's saying, "And the ministry I have is given to me from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom," kind of like what we would refer to as the best man nowadays.
Yeah.
"The best man who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." And then, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." And we'll stop it there. So basically what John is saying here, we've got the dispute here that arises. Hey, Jesus is over there baptizing, you're baptizing, he's taking your followers. And John says, no, that's been the plan all along.
Yeah.
I prepared the way. I went before him. You know, John 1 talks about how he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Yep.
But what's interesting is how John says, "Yes, my time has come because I have done my job. Now it's time for him to increase and I must decrease." And John, probably little did he know, he's actually prophesying his own death there. He's saying, Jesus is coming on the scene. It's time for his ministry to expand, his to grow, and I'm going to fade into the background because I have prepared the way for the Lord. Now, here is why I don't take away that staunch humility-only interpretation from the passage anymore, and why I actually, and really kind of how it's kind of breathed a little bit of new meaning into what we're doing here.
Yeah.
John was, I mean, I don't think you'd look at John and go, oh, that's a super meek dude. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying he wasn't humble, right. But he definitely wasn't lowly. He was brash. He was loud. You know, the camel hair, the locust. I mean, he's a rough character. Thrown in prison several times because he was loud and boisterous about his faith and about preparing the way of Jesus. Now, right. I ain't going to wear no camel. I'm not going to, you know, camel skin. I'm not going to eat locusts. I'm not going that crazy. But the point is this, is that John's responsibility was Jesus. Basically, Jesus is not here yet. So I'm going to do everything I can to let people know that he is coming. And so that was his approach to ministry. And yes, when the time came and Jesus was there and Jesus began his ministry, he said, okay, I've done my job. I'm going to step back. Now, here's how I see that. Jesus is coming again.
Mm-hmm.
He's not here yet.
Right.
Yeah. When is he coming? We don't know. No man knows. No man knows the hour.
Yep.
And when he does come, guess what? Yeah. You know what? We're all going to step back and go, Jesus is here. Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know? But until that day comes, we have the same responsibility that John has, or that John had, of preparing the way. And so when I see that passage, he must increase, I must decrease, I still think of, that's why the business is called Must Increase, not Must Decrease. You know, seriously.
Yeah.
Because he must increase. Yes, that is the focus.
Yeah.
And as a part of that, but I'm not yet to the point where I must decrease, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to take the humility application from it, sure, we should all be humble. But what I'm talking about is like what we're doing here, what all of us are doing here on this earth is it's not our time to decrease. It's our team time, but it is our time to increase him. And
wow,
so
man.
We need to be increasing his name. And that's why we say our job, our responsibility at Must Increase is to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. And a lot of that is pointing to Jesus. And so that's a little bit of the history of the name, but also why, like I said, and that's why recently, it's not that I was ashamed of the name Must Increase, just mm-hmm. again, it was really a marketing thing. Church Media HQ was working, so we leaned into that
for a
while.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But that's why I kind of got this, a little bit of new life about the main mother brand or whatever you want to call it, Must
sure.
Increase, is because I'm like, man, this is really has a deeper meaning when you really look at the context there.
Oh,
sorry, man. I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no, you took a really quick break there.
Yeah.
No, I don't think.
Sorry, about the cough there.
No, it's all
we right. don't edit. So, for those of you that are like, what just happened?
No, I don't think you've ever taken it to that deep of an explanation before. I mean, I know we've kind of talked about it before, but that's some solid stuff, man. I mean, just to see your passion for. And there's been times we've had brainstorming sessions. We've said, there's got to be more that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that so many times, but there's got to be more content we can make. More short films we can make. There's got to be something that we're not seeing, somebody we're not reaching, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So for you to kind of bring that to light, like, hey, it's not time for me to be done yet.
Yeah.
You know, like just how John was.
Yep.
It's like, hey, more for me to do.
Yep.
Got to be something. So
I mean, literally, until Jesus comes back, until the trumpet sounds and all that. I mean, we are until you die. You know, I mean, that you just keep on going. So that leads into our weekly challenge. We're going to be again experimenting with the format. So one of the things we're going to be doing. I used to do this at Connection Culture there for a few weeks.
I remember this.
Did it for a while, so I want to get back to it. It is the weekly challenge, and so that's just this. Our purpose is to prepare the way of Jesus until he returns again. He must increase. But again, it's not yet time for us as his messengers to decrease. So our challenge is this, is yes, let's increase his name. Let's increase the truth. Let's increase the message of Jesus Christ. But don't think for a second that you have to be some, you know, living in the shadows type of. No, it is time to increase his name. And when he comes, yes, then we'll decrease. But until then, let's just, like I said, the mission of Must Increase is increase truth and inspire hope through, of course, the most important message, the message of Jesus Christ. Bo, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I didn't really plan on doing this kind of a play on words,
go
I guess,
it.
But this is just what the podcast is, you know, media, communication, whatever it is. Maybe my challenge kind of final thought is for this week, and I'm kind of preaching to myself here too, is okay, if there's not, because some people have a hard time taking action because they say, oh, I can't change anything. I'm just one person, you know, and I understand that. But maybe there's somebody out there that's like, you know what? is there something in my personal life with, you know, with media, social media, whatever, is there anything I can decrease as far as my consumption? Mm,
that's good.
You know, this is controlling me a little bit. Mm. I'm actually, you know, using this too much. And then something, hey, is there a form of communication, a form of media I can increase?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to take your words there. I just kind of cut me there for a second. It's maybe like, hey, I can't, you know, you can't control everybody else. But it's like, you know what? Everything starts with one person doing something different. So maybe just for, you know, the next week or so until we come out with the next challenge, what can I decrease? What can I increase?
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I like that.
There you go.
Like that. Good final thought. Yeah. I mean, what can we do? Taking the decrease thought concept.
Yeah.
Like decreasing. Yeah. I do think that should still be something to consider. Like,
of course.
If you could decrease distractions and things that are taking you off mission, go for it. But ultimately, the goal is to use that same technology to increase the message of Jesus. And so, Bo, per usual, how can we connect with you? How can if people want to
get in touch with my BoSnyderVideo.com, mm-hmm. BoSnyderVideo Instagram. I'll put the link in the notes for I'll put those in there. And I still do a lot of weddings. We do a lot of traveling for, you know, school promos, church promos. Yep. We do all that stuff together, mm-hmm. you and I. And if anybody has any camera questions, or I actually got phone calls the other day, hey, I want to buy this mic, what kind of gear? I still do that. I enjoy, you know, giving simple man answers to video questions and things, whatever. So, that's me. So.
That's good. Good. Yep. Connect with Bo. And Bo is, he's good about giving those good answers, just practical, simple. And remember, hey, text your questions to 615-900-4461, and we might answer it in a future episode. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And please, hey, take a moment, share it with your friends, pastors, maybe share it with your church so that we can help the people of your church not get distracted by the negative side of media, but actually use it to do what we're looking to do here, and that's increase the name of Jesus. Of course, you can connect with us online at mustincrease.com, and join us next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of your church, your family, your business, and beyond, right here on the Must Increase Podcast.